And now we present Joan Knows. I sat down with our resident Vatican expert Joan Lewis to look back at some of the highlights of the past 7 days.
Welcome back, Joan. Good to have you with us once again. Let's start off then this week with a look at the big day in America, and in fact for millions of people around the world, the inauguration of the new president, the 44th president, Barack Obama.
And obviously in our history, the very first black president, which, I mean, he himself said it at the inauguration 60 years ago, his own father could not have sat in certain restaurants and on buses and so forth without having his specific seat in the back because he was black. So in a very short period of time, as far as the history of the earth goes, to go from this segregation to desegregation to an African-American becoming the president is really, really an amazing step. It was a beautiful day in Washington. I guess you saw
very
it on
cold.
TV.
Very cold. I did, indeed. Very cold, but a beautiful day, as you say.
I'm just imagining, though, if I was one of those 2 million people, I would just think 2 million bodies around you would kind of help keep you warm. I don't know. But the Holy Father sent a telegram, is addressed to him as president, not president-elect, congratulating him, obviously, on his inauguration, saying, of course, that he offered his prayers and best wishes, saying he hoped that the newly inaugurated president would work for the good of the American people and the people of all nations. He said, I will pray, that Almighty God grant you unfailing wisdom and strength in the exercise of your high responsibilities. And he said, under your leadership, may the American people continue to find in their impressive religious and political heritage the spiritual values and ethical principles needed to cooperate in the building of a truly just and free society, marked by respect for the dignity, equality, and rights of each of its members, especially the poor, the outcast, and those who have no voice. Now, he said other things, but at this point, I just simply want to comment on the fact that Holy Father didn't specifically mention, for example, the unborn and the protection of life in that respect. But, you know, if you think about it, if you go back to his January 8th message to his speech to the diplomatic corps, he called the unborn the poorest of all. He talked about the poor, and he said the unborn are the poorest of all. So that had to be very high in his thoughts. And I think we do. Certainly, I want to pray for the health and the safety and the wisdom and of this new president. He's young, he's dynamic, he's charismatic, he's a magnificent orator. We have to look beyond the magnificence of the oratory to the content, number one, when he speaks, and then obviously what he does. So
certainly he has a very daunting task ahead of him. As you say, once the enthusiasm the excitement of the inauguration day dies down,
which is like
and he gets
2 days
to
later,
work,
right,
exactly,
yeah.
And he starts to tackle these huge problems, which in fact he outlined many of them in a very down-to-earth and realistic, I thought, inauguration
a very
speech.
Pragmatic.
Beginning, of course,
yes,
with this foreign policy crisis, the whole of the Middle East and Gaza, the situation in the Gaza Strip,
exactly.
The very fragile ceasefire has been very much still in the news, hasn't it, as it has, in fact, since Christmas. The Pope spoke about it again, didn't he, this past week?
Oh, he did. There were three instances, really, in recent days in which the Vatican, in some way, the Holy Father directly, have been involved in bringing Gaza to the forefront, really, of the news. And that's good. It does have to be kept there. The mere fact that the shelling and the bombing has ended doesn't mean that this has to go off of page one of the newspapers.
But because the humanitarian crisis continues in a very big way.
I know
it?
That the bishops that were there last week, some of them have made a report, bishops from Europe and North America,
calling for aid groups to be back in there trying to help begin the rebuilding process.
And speaking of aid, of course, we have the Pontifical Council, and this is one of the things that, you know, we paid attention to this week. The Pontifical Council Cor Unum, which many call the Pope's charity arm, had announced over the weekend that it was sending, in the name of Pope Benedict XVI, a personal concrete sign to aid the relief efforts of the small but fervent Catholic presence in Gaza. And it is a minuscule presence. There is the Holy Family Church there, and that the money, this aid, would be directed to Father Manuel Salam, pastor of this church, to the missionaries of charity and to other religious congregations and those who serve the vulnerable, especially vulnerable, in the homeland of Jesus now being tragically scourged by death, human pain, material damage, and tears that cry out for peace. And the interesting thing is the Cor Unum announcement of this aid being sent by the Holy Father came only a day after Archbishop Celestino Migliore, who is the Holy See's point man, obviously, at the United Nations, he had addressed the 10th emergency special session of the General Assembly on the dramatic situation in Gaza. And they went back to the Security Council Resolution 1860 of January 8th, which calls for an immediate and enduring ceasefire, as well as for unimpeded humanitarian assistance. So again, another very strong look at what the situation is in Gaza, particularly the humanitarian situation, and then the overall Middle East situation, just calling for a lasting and durable peace.
Let's hope it remains a priority and, as you said, right. Important to keep it in the news as the humanitarian crisis is far from over, even if the shelling is. Let's look just very briefly at another big event, not exactly in the Vatican, in fact, over in Mexico City, and yet Pope Benedict was very involved, wasn't he, in this world meeting of families and sent a message.
Fascinating, right. Well, it's the first time that this world meeting, and of course they were set up by, established by Pope John Paul II. It was the first time that a pope was not present. John Paul was present at all of them. Benedict was in Valencia in July of 2006, and that was a very wonderful meeting, and I'm certainly imagining that Mexico was the same way. So this meeting began the 14th of January and concluded with a mass, a final mass on Sunday the 18th, and the pope's presence was through a taped video conference at 8 o'clock on Saturday night in Mexico time. He had taped a message, obviously, about the family, pointing out the importance of the family in society. Marriage is that stable, lasting union between a man and a woman, the rights that parents have to educate their own children, and so on and so forth. And he reiterated a lot of those words in his live satellite link up on Sunday. And I understand that some little room was arranged for the Holy Father, like a little mini studio, where he could not only watch the happenings live in Mexico City, but then obviously the cameras, if you will, were on him, and he
was
had
able
his
to
message.
Link up yeah. with the huge crowd gathered there, that's right, in Mexico for that meeting of families. And just very briefly before we go, a little personal touch as well. The Pope was celebrating his brother's 85th birthday, wasn't he?
Oh, that was lovely. I would love to have been a fly on the wall for that one. A concert was held in the Sistine Chapel, and a number of the Pope's friends from Germany, a fairly sizable number of his friends from Germany were in town for that. I only know because about 25 of them had dinner at La Vittoria restaurant afterwards.
One of your favorite haunts.
And one of my favorite haunts. And everybody seemed very moved by the concert, by the Pope's attentiveness to his brother. And then, of course, he had a little speech planned, but there were the usual wonderful off-the-cuff remarks from the Holy Father about their childhood. Monsignor Georg, I think, is like 3.5 years older than he is. So you got this wonderful concert. There were opera singers. There was music that the Pope's brother, a musician in his own right, director for many, many years, 40 or 30, whatever it was, of the Regensburg Choir. And so it was his own brother who, when he was, you know, 8, 9, or 10 or something, introduced him to the music.
To the world of music that has really accompanied him for still
exactly.
if we're to believe what we're told, enjoys sitting down at the piano. And so a very personal touch.
Well, it had to be small and intimate and wonderful and family-like, and one of those moments that I don't think we have on tape. I mean, I'm sure Vatican Television does, but it wasn't a public moment, if you will.
A nice personal way, and that brings us to the end of today's program. Thank you for joining us. We'll be speaking to you again at the same time next week.
And lots of stories for sure.
Thanks there to Joan Lewis looking back at events here in the Vatican over the past week.